the spiritual masters, the transparent via media. He doesn't, he presents the message as it is. He doesn't add or subtract anything. He doesn't distort anything or make compromises. And whatever service is offered to him, he also doesn't keep for himself, but he offers it to his spiritual master and through his spiritual master through the disciplic succession to Krishna. The basis or the beginning of devotional service is to accept a spiritual master, to take initiation from him, to follow his instructions, to ask questions of him. These are the first four items of devotional service enumerated by Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī. And therefore, to attack the relationship of a disciple with the spiritual master is really to attack the very basis of one's devotional service. And therefore, Śrī Pādyadhyātaka Swami Maharaj was so vehement in his opposition to the Ritvik philosophy. We heard that he compiled 100 arguments against Ritvik Raj. And Śrīla Prabhupāda was similarly vehement about Mayavad. And there really is a connection between Ritvik Vad and Mayavad. Of course, the idea in Mayavad is that Krishna, his name, his form, his qualities, his pastimes, his paraphernalia, his entourage, his service, are all Maya. That Krishna, the ultimate truth is impersonal Brahman, and the impersonal Brahman comes in the form of Krishna, accepts a form of Maya as Krishna. And when in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, surrender to me, he doesn't really mean that we should surrender to him, the person Krishna, but the impersonal Brahman that is speaking through Krishna. And Śrīla Prabhupāda and all of our acharyas have very vehemently protested against the Mayavad interpretation. Śrī Chaitanya Mahāprabhu said, Mayavad Vāsya Sunilai Sarvahāyanāt. By hearing the impersonal commentaries, one's spiritual life is destroyed. Mayavadi Krishna Aparadhi. Śrī Chaitanya Mahāprabhu said, the Mayavadis are the greatest offenders to Krishna. And at one stage in ISKCON, there actually was a deviation in which some disciples claimed that Śrīla Prabhupāda was actually Krishna, that we were underestimating him, and that actually he was Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada said that that was Mayavad philosophy. And that Mayavad philosophy really cuts at the relationship between the spiritual master and the disciple. Because So, Srila Prabhupada said that if the spiritual master can become Krishna, then it means the disciple can also become Krishna. If the spiritual master can become God, then the disciple can also become God. And then there's no relationship between the disciple and the spiritual master. They both merge and become one. So, Mayavad philosophy really cuts at the very root of the relationship between the disciple and the spiritual master. And Ritvik Vad is similar. Ritvik Vad is similar. According to the Ritviks, Srila Prabhupada never could have intended that the 11 people that he named to initiate, he never intended that they could actually be gurus, because subsequently some of them had difficulty. The idea is sort of that Prabhupada is omniscient, he can tell the future. He knew that in the future they would have difficulty, and therefore he never could have intended them to become gurus. What he really intended was that he would be the guru, that his disciples would initiate on his behalf, but he would be the guru. Now, there are many mistaken premises in this whole theory. In fact, I asked Srila Prabhupada more or less about that very point. Soon after I joined, maybe 1 year after I joined, Srila Prabhupada formed the GBC, Governing Body Commission, and he appointed or named 12 disciples to be members of the GBC. And I thought that these 12 were in a different category from the other devotees. There was something special about them that put them in a different category. Anyway, after some time, one of them had difficulty, but I didn't think too much about it. I thought it was a fluke. I didn't think about it too much. But then, sometime later, another one of them had difficulty, was unable to continue the strict practice of Krishna consciousness. So I approached Srila Prabhupada. I said, you know everything about us. You know us better than we know ourselves. But still, sometimes we see that you put someone in an exalted position and then he falls down. Well, how is that possible?
And Srila Prabhupada replied, the living entity is always marginal. So whatever position he's in, he can always use it either for sense gratification or for Krishna service. And the minute independence of the living entity is always there. Even if someone were omniscient, like Krishna, and knew everything about a person, his past lives, everything about his history, his psychology, his economics, his sociology, every factor that could possibly influence him. If one knew every factor that could influence him, still, there is the added element of free will. And therefore, one can never calculate with absolute certainty what an individual will do, because he always has free will. And as Prabhupada said, he can always use his position either for sense gratification or for Krishna's service. The spiritual master will put him in the best position for Krishna's service, but still, he has free will. And that is always there. Even Krishna, while speaking the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, said, now you have heard what I have said, now you deliberate on it, and yatechasi tatakuru, you do whatever you like. You do whatever you like means you decide. Krishna never interferes with the minute independence of the living entity. So the idea that Prabhupada must have known that they would fall down and therefore he could not have recommended them to initiate disciples, the very premise is wrong. The very premise is wrong. Srila Prabhupada himself said that acharya does not mean omniscient, like Krishna. Acharya means how one is preaching the bhakti cult. It was said of Advaita Acharya that he was known as Advaita because he is non-different from Krishna, Vishnu. And he was known as Acharya because he was preaching the bhakti cult. Acharya Bhakti Samsanat. So Srila Prabhupada quoted that. Acharya means one who is preaching the bhakti cult, not omniscient like Krishna. So this idea that Prabhupada knew that they would fall down, therefore how could he have recommended them to initiate? He must not have meant that they should initiate. He must have meant that he would actually be the guru and they would initiate on his behalf, but really they would be Prabhupada's disciples. Now, if we accept the theory that one does not need a direct link to Srila Prabhupada, that one can without personally being accepted by Srila Prabhupada, one can imagine that one has been accepted by Srila Prabhupada, then one could imagine that one has been accepted by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, or by Srila Rupa Goswami, by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or by Krishna himself. If one does not need a link, a personal link to the disciplic succession, if one can bypass the immediate link, then one could bypass the next link and the next link and the next link, and one approaches Krishna directly. But the actual, this is very clearly stated by Srila Rupa Goswami, of course, with reference to Shastra, Tasmat Guru Prapadyeta, one must surrender to the Guru. Tadvidi Pranipatena Pariprashnena Sevaya. Pranipat, one must surrender to the Guru. Pariprashnena, one asks questions. And Sevaya, one renders service. It's a living relationship with a living person, where he is there to give you instructions coming from Vyas through disciplic succession, and you are there to render service to him, which he in turn offers through disciplic succession to Vyas. There's no room for imagination. The Ritviks may have a picture of Srila Prabhupada, and they may imagine that he's accepted them, but how do they know? How do they know? So it's really a very cuts this Mayavad theory, or really cuts at the relationship of the guru and disciple, which in turn is the very basis of our devotional service, and that means it cuts at the very basis of our devotional service, just like Mayavad. So, it's very important that we gather on such occasions to reaffirm the validity of the disciplic succession and the process of surrender and inquiry and service rendered to the spiritual master. I noticed in Kalindi Sundari's offerings some references, indirect references, to statements that Srila Prabhupada had made, in particular a letter that Srila Prabhupada had written to His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj, in which Jayapataka Maharaj had asked Srila Prabhupada, "Is it true that the spiritual master will remain in the material world until all of his disciples are delivered?" And Srila Prabhupada replied, "Yes, it is true that the spiritual master will remain in the universe until all of his disciples are delivered. And therefore the disciples should be very careful not to commit any offense that will create an obstruction in their spiritual progress, and thus oblige the spiritual master to have to come back again." he said, to disobey the orders of the spiritual master is the number one offense. And one should avoid committing any offense that will create an obstruction in one's spiritual advancement. So in her very sweet and simple way, she prayed that he save her from namaparads, and of course that gururavagya, to disobey the spiritual master, is one of the namaparads. It's also vaishnavaparad. So that she and her husband can go back to Godhead in this very lifetime, which of course will be wonderful for them, and it will also be wonderful for her Guru Maharaj to have her with him and Srila Prabhupada and their lords and masters. In her offering, she also mentioned the thunderbird. This is a reference to a morning walk that Srila Prabhupada took in Chicago, in which he saw a car parked on the side of the road that was called a thunderbird. Have you heard of the car Thunderbird? So Srila Prabhupada asked, what is the Thunderbird? So one disciple answered that that Thunderbird is the name of an Indian chief. So they probably named the car after the Indian chief, Thunderbird. So Srila Prabhupada asked, but is there really any such bird as a thunderbird? And they couldn't really answer. But Srila Prabhupada replied, well, we have got thunderbird. It is called chatak. The chatak bird will not take mercy, excuse me, the chatak bird will not take water from anywhere except the cloud. So the chatak bird will always remain poised under the cloud, waiting for rain. But sometimes the cloud doesn't give rain. It gives thunderbolts. But still, the chatak bird will not go anywhere else for water. So one of the devotees asked Srila Prabhupada, in what connection, Prabhupada said Rupa Goswami had written this verse. So the disciple asked, in what connection does Rupa Goswami give this example? And Srila Prabhupada replied that Krishna is like the cloud. It's also a very beautiful image, because Krishna is Shyam Sundar. His complexion is like that of a dark monsoon cloud. And so the devotee will take mercy only from Krishna. He will not take mercy from the material world. And even if Krishna doesn't give mercy, if he doesn't give rain, but rather he gives thunder and lightning, still the devotee will not go anywhere else. He will not take mercy from the material world, but he will wait for Krishna's mercy. And of course, in a higher sense, the thunderbolts are also Krishna's mercy. in a different form. So the disciple has that mood. The disciple doesn't want only to be praised by the spiritual master. In fact, he takes the chastisement of the spiritual master as mercy. He won't leave the spiritual master if the spiritual master chastises him. Once in Juhu, my esteemed elder god sister, Malati Dasi, wrote Srila Prabhupada that the deities were being neglected. This was very early, before we even had the hut for the deities. We just had like a tent, sort of a temporary pandal. So Srila Prabhupada, in response, wrote me a letter saying, "I've received report that the deities are being neglected, and this is a very abominable affair, and you must immediately do something to rectify the situation." So, I mean, I was a very new devotee, and as it is, India was difficult, Juhu was difficult, and I thought, my neophyte mind was reeling when I got that letter. It was reeling. So I wrote Srila Prabhupada back saying that, yes, you know, I will do as you say, and we'll take, you know, proper care of the deities. And I said something to the effect that, your letter was very strong, and I was just revealing my mind to Srila Prabhupada. I wasn't trying to get a response from him. I was just revealing my mind to him, and I said, you know, something like, "I'm really struggling to maintain my enthusiasm." And Srila Prabhupada wrote back that it is the duty of the spiritual master to criticize the disciples. Sometimes Prabhupada would quote the Chanakya shloka that a father or teacher should discipline his son or disciple. That will make him strong. And if he's too lenient with the son or disciple, then he'll become spoiled. So Prabhupada wrote that that my only desire is that you, along with all of my other disciples, make advancement in Krishna consciousness. So please take my criticism in that spirit. So that's an important instruction. I mean, that's what surrender means. That you don't leave. You know, the chatuk bird never leaves the cloud. Even if the cloud doesn't give rain, but it sends thunderbolts, still the chatuk bird doesn't leave the cloud. So in the same way, the disciple will never leave the spiritual master. Even if the spiritual master criticizes the disciple or corrects the disciple, but the disciple will never leave the spiritual master. He will accept the chastisement of the spiritual master as the spiritual master's mercy. Once, in Srila Prabhupada's last weeks in Juhu, when he was quite ill in 1977, His Holiness Navayogendra Swami was serving for some of the time. And Prabhupada became very angry. And Navayogendra Swami said, "Prabhupada, when you get angry like that and chastise us, we don't know what to think. We don't know how to feel. You just get so bewildered. How should we feel?" And Srila Prabhupada replied, "You should feel jubilant." There are so many people loitering in the street. No one cares for them. If they do something wrong, no one will correct them. They're just left on their own. So you should feel jubilant that you have someone who cares for you and who will correct you if you do something wrong. Sanatha Jivita, Prahar Shayishyami Sanatha Jivita. Once Prabhupada quoted a verse by Yamunachari, which was spoken by Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami when they first met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when they asked to have him as their master, living master. They said that when we have you as our living master, we will feel completely pacified and will be free from mental speculation. There's more to it, but that's an important part of it. So Sri Pajaipataka Swami Maharaj has very fiercely upheld the principle of Guru within ISKCON against all attacks, prominent among which is the attacks of the Ritvik Vadis, and of course the Mayavadis. And so it's a great privilege for us to assemble on such an occasion and appreciate his mercy, glorify his service, and offer ourselves in his service, servant of the servant, servant of the servant of the servant, or servant of the servant of the servant of the servant, as much as possible. And of course, we've learned now that in addition to our Diksha Guru, we may also have Shiksha Gurus. They're also representing Srila Prabhupada. They're also representing the disciplic succession. They're also representing Srila Vyasadeva or Krishna. And by hearing from them, learning from them, learning from their instructions, learning from their examples, and by rendering service to them, following their instructions, we can make better progress, and it's therefore it's very purifying for all of us. It's very enlivening for all of us, whether we are initiated by Sri Pajaipataka Swami or not. He is certainly a tremendous servant of Srila Prabhupada. We can learn from his example and from his instructions. We can't imitate him, but we can try to follow in his footsteps. And it's necessary, you know, that senior devotees all help the junior devotees. It's good that the relatively junior devotees all learn from and render service to senior devotees. In the old days, before the computer, before the airplane, gurus would have a small ashram, and their disciples would live with them in their ashram, and there would be regular daily instruction by the spiritual master and regular daily service to the spiritual master personally and directly. But of course it began with Nityananda Prabhu, the Namahatta. It was expanded by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, where different preachers are assisting the fallen souls, and as Malati Prabhu said, and as it is so true, under Srila Prabhupada's direction, Srila Jagpataka Swami Maharaj really elaborated the Namahatta program. And so there's so many teachers of Krishna consciousness, and there are so many students, and the students become teachers. And in this way, the knowledge is passed on, and the service is rendered. So we have to care for each other, he cares so much for devotees, whether they're initiated by him or not. He encourages them, he teaches them, he instructs them, he engages them. So we should also be like that, very broad-minded and liberal. Everyone here is a student of someone. Everyone is a teacher of someone. So as teachers, following His Holiness Jagpataka Swami Maharaj's example, as teachers we should be very liberal and open-hearted. We should be very loving and caring as He is, and give of ourselves to others, share knowledge and experience with them, and encourage them to render service, and perhaps directly engage them in service. And we should also be liberal and open in receiving instruction, even sometimes receiving chastisement, and in offering respect and worship and homage and service. And that will please His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj and our disciplic succession, Srila Prabhupada and his predecessors. And that will help us individually, each and every one of us, to grow and flourish in Krishna consciousness. And it will help us collectively, as a movement, to be very strong, not in any material sense, but in a spiritual sense, very strong because of our purity. Purity is the fourth. Strong because of our unity. Srila Prabhupada always told that story of the father who gave sticks to his sons. He gave a thin stick to each son, and each son was able to break the stick very easily. But then when he bundled a lot of thin sticks together and asked them to break the bundle, they couldn't do it. So individually, on our own, alone, we can be broken very easily, but if we stay together, nothing can break us. We'll be very strong. And staying together really means developing relationships that are loving and caring. Srila Prabhupada used the phrase love and trust, not just like a designation or like an affiliation. You know, we're ISKCON devotees, we have to stick together, or we're disciples of a certain guru, we have to stick together. I mean, that's true in a way, but it should be true in a spiritual way, you know, that we love and care for each other, and that will manifest itself in the higher devotees, you know, giving instruction and caring for the younger devotees, and in the younger devotees, you know, appreciating and honoring and serving the more senior devotees. And then, of course, we have our peers, our friends. We also should have loving friendships with each other. And that will make us strong, that will make us united, and that will, you know, make us not only advanced individually, but it will make us powerful collectively, as His Holiness Jaipataka Swami and Srila Prabhupada and our disciplic succession would want. So I'm very honored and grateful that I could be here on this occasion at His lotus feet and with all of you to observe this very sacred and important occasion. Hare Krishna.